Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch does not have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15 served in 20 minutes or less at Boston Pizza.
I can go for a nice trio like that.
Maybe some wings, a little pizza and wings for the game tonight.
Pizza, wing, a beer. Not bad.
Yeah. All at Boston Pizza. And certainly at lunchtime, you can get the $15 deal. In this economy, unbelievable.
Tough to beat.
All right, lots to get to today here on the program. Stefan Roster is going to join us. New York Islanders closing in on a potential general manager. Are they still circling around Brendan Shanahan? Do they want the Shanna plan in New York on the island? Because the Leafs are done with the Shanna plan.
Yeah, Shanna plan New York edition.
Yeah. The Shanna plan got us to a point. It did not get us to where we wanted to go.
Well, Shanahan played for the Rangers too.
Yeah.
So would he go to the Islanders if he played for the Rangers?
Does that matter? I don't know. Shanahan kind of was like one of those Hall of Famer journeyman guys who played for a lot of teams.
He did. He certainly did.
So we'll see how that works out. But we'll talk to Stefan Roster and his take on it. Obviously, the Isles winning the first overall pick and some questions about what they're going to do with that roster this summer. Sam Costantino Cugino is going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, he is literally Dan Riccio's cousin.
It's like distant cousin, but yeah, we're Cugini.
Yeah, you're the Italian word for cousin.
Not all Italians are related, but Sam and I technically are.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I wouldn't say technically are.
Yeah, legitimately we are.
Yeah. what would be the technicality?
I don't know. I don't know why I said it that way. All right, let's get to the open. Stop it.
Welcome to the open.
Four! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is on the Abbotsford Canucks. We got a 3-2 overtime win over the Colorado Eagles last night in Loveland, Colorado. You heard it here on Sportsnet 650. They lead the series 2-1, and they are one game away from the Calder Cup's conference finals. One win away from the conference finals. Linus Karlsson scoring the winner. Artur Shilovs was great again. Victor Mancini and Max Sasson scored the other goals for the Abbotsford Canucks. Continues to impress.
Yeah, and he's a guy that obviously impressed us a lot down the stretch with how he played. And also, you know, you talk about Artur Shilovs and how his game has come along. You can go through a number of other players who have acquitted themselves well for the Canucks at some point. And, you know, Artie's the guy that I'm happy to see bounce back, especially with how much he struggled earlier this season. Linus Karlsson is a player that I'm really intrigued by next season.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that these playoffs teach us anything. And we spoke to Brandon Asselil yesterday, and he mentioned that he's had some good moments, but also moments where he can do more. And he certainly stepped up huge with that massive game-winning goal. But I think he's a guy that, looking at all the forwards that are currently playing, and I know we're very excited about Lekkerimäki.
Yeah.
But can Linus Karlsson be a guy that can force himself onto the team next season?
Well, the thing about Karlsson, and you see it on the winner, you know, he's just above the blue paint, getting in the dirty areas and finding a loose puck and jamming it home. Mm-hmm. He did a little bit of that with the Vancouver Canucks as his production finally started to come around in the NHL opportunities he was afforded this year. So you look at this player, and every time I watch him, even when he did his little cameo appearance in the playoffs for the Canucks last year,
he got the game puck in his first game.
It's like, There's stuff here. You know, there hasn't been a lot of production to this point. It started to come towards the end of the year this year, but like, he plays a translatable game. When he scores, he's scoring in and around the net. Mm-hmm. He knows where to be. On the power play, when he was scoring, he was a net front guy and a net front presence. He wins pucks along the wall. He's a really smart player. And I think one of the big things for him, he's not that he's the biggest guy, you know, he's kind of a bit of a lanky, slight frame.
Yeah, but he is projectable, though. Like, he looks bigger than the 6'1 he's listed at.
Yes, and he's starting to use that frame more to his advantage. And I think that's one of the things you notice, I notice when watching Linus Karlsson.
Yeah, and again, I'm not talking about him playing up the lineup. I'm talking about him playing down your lineup. I don't know what his ultimate potential is. Is it a fourth liner?
Yeah.
Can he be a little bit more than that? Like, I'm not expecting more, but...
I mean, Rick Tocchet compared him to Thomas Holmstrom. So.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Holmstrom. Now, Holmstrom wasn't... like, he also wasn't the biggest guy. I think he was even smaller than Linus Karlsson is.
Yeah.
But he was strong, played in front of the net, and just took a ton of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Linus Karlsson is very good in front of the net. Like, you can make a living if you excel in those areas. And the way he played down the stretch, if he can do those things consistently, and the way he was able to read the play, and the way he was able to protect the puck in the offensive zone, if those things can continue next year and he can be decent in his own end, like, he could be an everyday player. And I did not think I would sit here and say that about Linus Karlsson a year ago.
It's the Thomas Holmstrom comparison is an interesting one. He was obviously a bit of a late bloomer himself. Mm-hmm. Didn't really play for the Wings until 96 when he was 23 years old. But his goal scoring, what you remember of Thomas Holmstrom, you know, when people remember Thomas Holmstrom on those Red Wings teams playing net front power play and doing those, that was all when he was like 32, 33 years old.
Yeah, it was a lot later in his career. You're right. And it took a while to get there for him, like you outlined. But he was always a guy that showed decent
hands. But he was
a
valuable player before that, but he just found his goal scoring touch later in his career.
Now, let's be real here. I don't expect Linus Karlsson to be anywhere near.
We went too far with
Thomas Holmstrom.
Rick Tocchet gave it to us.
Blame Tocchet. He's in Philly now. Add it to a list of things you can be mad at Rick for.
It's just like, I'm going to leave them a little crumb on my way out the door. Yeah. He's like Thomas Holmstrom. Sure.
We joked actually when he said it. It's like, it's not quite like Benning being like, he's Lidstrom.
That was a real projection.
Yeah. And was Zhukanov, the Zhukanov kid they drafted, could be Datsyuk. Yeah. I mean, I think he mentioned that once. So not quite as bold as Jim Benning was with some of the comps, but that was a pretty big one. But nonetheless, I think Carlson's a guy that we're intrigued by. And I think the big story here too for, I think, the Canucks, and this goes to a lot of the other players we'll talk about here, is can this finally be the time where this organization develops players out of their minor league system?
Yeah.
Because they've been one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the league since its inception, in actually developing players. They've been very bad at doing so over years, and they've spent so much time and money and focus on bringing Abbotsford as part of the AHL team, and they've dedicated resources to the Abbotsford team. Is that going to finally pay off? Like, are we going to finally see this pay off? We talk about how they had, almost a dozen rookies play games for them this year?
Yeah.
Almost the only guy who's not playing out of that list is Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
All those other guys are playing right now. A number of them could be NHL players potentially. Can this finally be the time where we look back and say this was the moment the Canucks finally got guys out of the minor league system? Because
it's been a long time, Seth.
Honestly, the last time they really did it was when they brought up like Bieksa, Raymond, and those guys with that group. That's the last time where they truly developed guys out of their minor league system.
You have to have it. It's one of the early things that this front office identified. Like, we've got to get better with our AHL system. We've got to get more out of Abbotsford. And they've started to, in fairness to them. They haven't done everything right, but they've really started to credibly develop players out of their signing college free agents, signing European free agents. We'll get to the one that they signed today as well as we get texts for Ravinskas talk here on Canucks Central. You guys are all crazy people.
We'll get to Ravinskas coming up in a moment. But yeah, I mean, you have to go back to, was it Yannick Hansen, Mason Raymond, Kevin Bieksa, Alex Edler? You know, it was that era where, you know, Ryan Kessler, even when he, you know, during the lockout year went down and played. Like, there was an era from, what was it, 2001, 2002 to 2005, 6, 7, where they actually developed a few guys. And that's the last time they did it.
That's the kind of thing you need to build a true Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah.
Not only are you, you know, loaded at the top of your lineup, but you're developing real players, whether it's from late in the draft or you find them from elsewhere, through your AHL system and making them credible roster players to fill out the rest of your roster around your star players. And it looks like they've got some potential there. Like, is there going to be a big hit? You need Lekkerimäki to hit. You're going to need Willander to hit. But are you going to get another big hit, or are you going to just get a couple of guys that help fill out your bottom six? I think that's one of the question marks.
And here, I think Linus Karlsson's great, and we spent a lot of time talking about him, but he can't be your big hit.
Yeah.
Like, he's a great story, and I think he would be a very good example for other players that are following that longer path that, mm-hmm. you know, hey, look at this guy as an example of you getting there and becoming an NHL player potentially. But we're talking about, at best, a third line type of player, right?
Yeah.
If we're being realistic about it, at best. And it remains to be seen if he's even an everyday NHL player. We know there are a lot of guys. We saw with Nils Åman. We saw even with Ratu. And I think he's a guy that if he gets a little quicker, he could be a guy outside of Lekkerimäki and,
yep.
And Vilander that could take that big step potentially. And you know, DPD, of course. But how many of those guys can, outside of, yeah. you know, Max Sasson, is he always going to be the guy that has a recall but is an AHL player? Like, we don't know that. They're knocking on the door. It's exciting to see what they can become, but that's going to be the big question. Like, how many of these guys can turn into real players for you?
Ratu still injured, did not play last yeah. night. But
could be getting closer, though.
Maybe the big hit is on the back end with either Elias Pettersson, who we've already got a lot of hype for, and you know, there's people in the inbox that say he's an untouchable. The Canucks cannot trade Elias Pettersson. And there's also Victor Mancini, who we spoke to on the show last week. He's well-spoken, really hard worker, as you can tell, being an overaged drafted player in the fifth round by the Rangers, showed up to camp last year, stunned everybody, made the team, ends up being a big piece of the JT Miller trade, and comes over to Vancouver and has done nothing but really impress. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, it wasn't all perfect in his NHL games that he played down the stretch, but there was a lot to like, even yeah. in the NHL opportunities he was given. And now he's really playing well for the Abbotsford Canucks, especially over these last few games, and he scored another goal last night.
Yeah, and I like a lot of what Mancini can do. I see a lot of the discourse, and I think it's great. I'm not trying to say don't be excited about these players. The Canucks fans did not have a great year, and one of the best things about this year, unfortunately, was some of the development of the young guys
yes.
and the somewhat youth movement. Like, so I get
at least there's
I get
that.
I get it, right? I get the excitement, but we have to be very careful in trying to extrapolate performances in the AHL playoffs to what's going to happen next year in the NHL. I haven't seen anything from Mancini that I did not expect to see.
Yeah.
He's good. He's too good for that level, because you see his skating, you see his ability to handle the puck, the size he has, the puck moving ability, the shots real plus, and it creates a lot of problems for goaltenders. His tools are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And at the AHL level, if you're toolsy and you have confidence, you can make an impact. And I'm seeing that from him. The question for him is, how do you process and identify your responsibilities defensively? And can you play a consistent, strong defensive game? And to me, I'm not sure the AHL playoffs are going to tell us one way or another.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised that next year Victor Mancini plays fewer games than he did this year for the team, because they have so many more players and veterans. Like, look at the, like, Vilander's coming up, but if he makes the team, right?
Yeah, you've got Vilander, you've got Hronek, you've got Myers, and you've got Mancini.
Yeah. Now, injuries are always going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? But if they go into the next season with that being their right side, is he playing more than 31 games he played this year between the Canucks and the Rangers next season? Like, a lot of injuries would have to happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, a few things would have to go wrong. Now, maybe he gets there, but to me, there's no guarantee he plays more games than he played last year.
I mean,
right?
I guess the other argument is Vilander looks like he could use some AHL
sure.
time when he gets to camp,
yeah.
and then, you know, instead of having Vilander on the NHL roster, it's Mancini, and he gets a lot of those opportunities to start the year.
Yeah, and Filip Hronek has been injury prone, but he's picked up a lot of injuries over
yeah.
the years. He's probably missing a few games. Myers might miss a few games. But I'm saying we can't look at it and say, oh, he's for sure playing more than 31 games next year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's that easy. Like, if you put the over-under for him, for games played for him next year, they're probably in the 20 range,
mm-hmm.
right? And I like a lot of what Mancini brings. And I think long-term, he's a really important prospect for the Canucks. And he's been a late bloomer, too. Like, there's a lot of things I like about his game. I'm not sure he's quite ready yet, though. From everything I saw from him during his play in the NHL, a lot of good. But overall, especially when it comes to defensive responsibilities, understanding what to do and being able to defend within team NHL concepts, there's still some work he needs to do to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm not against trading Filip Hronek. I'm not against trading anybody for the right deal, right?
Sad, are you trading Filip Hronek right now?
I'm not trading Filip Hronek.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Just check.
I'm not against trading Filip Hronek. Like, you know, my philosophy always is like be open to trading anybody for the right package, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, unlikely for some players, but you always listen at the very least. But I'm not trading Filip Hronek because I think Mancini's ready.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I think that goes without saying, right? Like, one should not equal the other. Like,
yeah.
Because Mancini's having a really solid run and playing really well and really impressing with Abbotsford right now doesn't mean you can, you can make that kind of a move at on the NHL roster.
No, and I mean, are you going to go into next year with two of your top of your right-hand defensemen being rookies essentially? Now Mancini wouldn't be a rookie technically because
he's played
31 games, so he's already passed it, but for all intents and purposes a young inexperienced
defenseman. Why I don't even really want to entertain the idea of trading Hronek, because I don't want to go into the season with Tyler Myers as your number one right shot defenseman.
No, but I can listen for the right deal.
Yeah.
I'm not against trading Hronek because you can always add a veteran right-hand defenseman for a one-year stopgap.
Yeah.
And now he can, you know, I wouldn't say be a roadblock, but somebody that can Mancini can compete with. And if Mancini takes a big step and a leap and is ready to go, then great. I mean, he's ahead of the curve and ahead of time. He steps up and does it. But I think you would need to have some veteran cover at the very least. There's no way they're entering into next year with two right-hand defensemen being that inexperienced. Like, I just don't see it, right? But for Filip Hronek, I don't see him getting traded this offseason,
mm-hmm.
but I do think it's an underrated possibility. Like, out of all the Canucks trade assets, he's probably the one that, of the ones you're willing to move, so to speak.
Right.
Is he the second most valuable asset?
But should you be more willing to move Hronek than you should be more, like, than Elias Pettersson or Tom Vilander? I guess
it depends
what the return is.
Well, here's the thing. If you have to accept the reality in 2 years that Quinn Hughes isn't staying here,
yeah,
wouldn't you want to go with the younger guys anyways? To me, the value in having Filip Hronek is in your ability to compete the next 5 years.
Yes.
And if Quinn's not staying here the next 5 years, that's why I'm saying I'm open to it for the right deal. I'm not trying to trade Filip Hronek. I like Filip Hronek. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, like, if you look at the Canucks assets, Quinn Hughes is number one. Who's their second most valuable asset?
I mean,
it's probably Filip Hronek.
Yeah, it's probably Filip Hronek. Certainly not Elias Pettersson.
Right.
Right. So it's probably Filip Hronek. It's, you know, goalies don't really have a ton of trade value. So it's not Thatcher Demko, especially on an expiring deal. DeBrusk doesn't have a ton of trade value, I would imagine. I mean, he's got some kind of value, but not a huge amount. But, like, you know, I could see Hronek being sort of a one for one for a real surefire great winger or something like that.
What, like, if, for instance,
maybe in the right situation, a center?
Yeah. I mean, I would trade Filip Hronek for Roope Hintz one for one. I don't think Dallas is doing it.
Yeah.
They need a righty defenseman, though. But I'm saying, like, that's the type of deal I would consider.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a young, high end or higher end player.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at, give me a couple of draft picks and a prospect or a winger, even a second line winger or whatever. Like, it's, can you get something like that? You would have to at least consider the possibility.
Hronek for Hintz comes right in, just as Sat says that, into the Dunbar Lumber text. Loud Titans fan and Sat, they're on the same equilibrium right now. They are just telepathic,
but
if you will.
Isn't that, like, again, I might be out to lunch. Like, Dallas might laugh at that and say, well, are you kidding me? They might not do it. But, like,
that's
would you be against that idea?
You, if that's something that could be on the table,
right,
then it makes sense to think about trading Filip Hronek. But there's a lot of deals that I would not be so into for Filip Hronek.
Yeah, I'm not there just to trade him for the sake of trading him.
Because it feels like, you know, for as much as I didn't love the deal when it first was consummated by the Vancouver Canucks, it feels like, you know, that's one where you're going to be looking for the next Filip Hronek for a long time, even if you think right now you might have him in the organization.
So to me, Filip Hronek's like this.
But I'm not sure Vilander ever scores as much
as
Hronek does.
Not even close. Like, I don't think that's...
Produces, at least.
I don't think it's.
Yeah.
That's going to be the case. And this is why I love having Filip Hronek on the team, because you could potentially move him for, hypothetically, that caliber of Hintz-type player.
Yeah.
Again, like, just hypothetically,
like, he's kind of developed into a true number two defenseman.
Yeah, and if he stays on the team and Quinn Hughes is in here,
mm-hmm.
well, at least now you have the power play quarterback. You have a go to offensive defenseman who's still relatively young and can carry mm-hmm. the team. Like, he's still a very valuable player. But that's why I'm saying, like, if you're thinking about improving the team significantly this year,
yeah,
and we know how difficult it's going to be, would you not at least consider all possibilities outside of trading Quinn Hughes?
I'm sure this is coming up in Overrated Underrated again later, so we will discuss it further later on in the program. The Canucks signed Anri Ravinskis, 22 years old, 6'3", 200 pounds, Latvian winger, was playing in the SM Liga in Finland this year. And so the Canucks lock in a European free agent to their organization.
Yeah, I've seen some of the scouting reports, and I've asked some people about it. I saw Daniel G, and what I've heard, you know, kind of asking around, is pretty similar to what's already out there. But Daniel mm-hmm. kind of mentions how his game is centered on off puck play around the net. He looks for redirects, one touch shooting. There is some projectability to his game. Mentions how he's physically filled out. Recently, he's only 22 years old, but with the size, the speed, the ability to understand the game, I think those are all pluses. We know that the Canucks like to have players that are quote-unquote intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And by intelligent, they mean, do you understand NHL systems and can you play within systems? Do you yeah. know what to do when you don't have the puck? And those
How
are
do
things,
you play off the puck?
Exactly. Really important. So he has a lot of those things. And he played in the QMJHL for a couple of years. Didn't have a lot of production, but like Daniel and others have mentioned, he's physically really developed this past year yeah. to a point at the age of 22 where he's making a bigger impact than he has had before. And there's power and speed to his game all of a sudden.
Well, when we talk to a lot of Canucks brass, and even when you hear from them in non-public spaces, they don't really, like, not that they don't care about points, but like they're not just looking at production.
Because the easiest thing to find at the lower levels is production. Find yes. the guys with stats and be like, okay, draft them. Anyone can do that.
Yes. And it's, they don't think that they're finding a first line winger here in Anri Ravinskis. No disrespect to Anri, who's just got an NHL mm-hmm. contract, right, for him. But even in the words that Alvin says in the press release, finding European free agents like Anri is a good way for our organization to improve its depth. We like his size and body type and look forward to helping him refine his skills and get used to the North American pro game, end quote. So it's like, you know, there's not even a whole lot about projecting him here. We're bringing a player into our organization that we believe is going to improve our depth and go from there. So any way you can get more credible NHL talent into your organization, that's a good thing. Now it's up to the development tools, as we've talked about with Abbotsford, to get Anri into a position where he may play NHL games
yeah,
for this club.
But ultimately, we're talking about organizational depth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is not to say that you shouldn't be drafting skilled players. The Canucks could use an infusion of skill. We know that, right? But if you're looking at having players that can come and play a few games for you if injuries happen, that to me is what this signing could be. Like, you know, I hope he can be an everyday NHL player, but to me, these things become wins if he's a credible AHL player who can give you a few games here and there and not look at a place of injuries hit. Can that happen in the next couple of years? We'll see.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Stefan Rossner here on Canucks Central, his take on what the Islanders are up to. Guests on Sportsnet 650, call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. Still want to get in on the Oilers collapse last night as they were up 3-1 going into the third, end up losing 6-3. Not quite Knicks level, but it was not great by the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know what it was with the blue and orange teams last night. It's just something going on with the colors.
How
of those
you feeling,
teams.
Man?
Elon's like,
fan.
I don't want to talk about this
now. I told you guys in the back room when I came in, it feels like I got dumped last night. I'm just emotional all day.
Yeah.
You know, people are coming up to me, you know, laughing in my face. I'm like, I don't want to hear it, guys.
Elon producing this fine program today. He is a big time Knicks fan. All right, coming up, Stefan Rossner is going to join us. His take on the New York Islanders and more coming up next on Sportsnet 650.